Have you ever desired to know just the right word or words of comfort to offer someone who is grieving or someone who is discouraged? Well, you know, we may not say anything and be able to offer comfort because we care. The presence of a caring brother or sister in Christ means so much. A caring friend, yes. Man does not have the words to offer lasting comfort, but God does. Well, of course he does. God's word, we should know, is truth. John 17:17, our Lord and Savior, in his prayer before the cross, John 17:17, sanctify them in thy truth, thy word is truth. But also we want to point out this morning the comforting word of God. God's holy word offers us comfort. Yes, we can receive a lasting comfort from God's holy word. And we'll want to begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And PFE, those initials, can help us remain focused, because that's the most important thing we could be doing. Of course it is. Our eternal destiny is very, very, very important, is it not? Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville, as of course we're studying God's comforting word and precious in our Bible classes. And then as we come together to worship God, we're striving to do so in spirit and in truth, that is, having a proper attitude, but also following the New Testament pattern, John 4:24. And I can assure you, you will receive a warm welcome. We're friendly. I want you to know that. And something else. If you are interested in having a Bible study where we sit down together and open up God's Word and study, we would look forward to setting that up at your convenience. We're always glad to answer Bible questions you may have. We appreciate your comments, positive or negative. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. And I want to mention that Shelbyville Road Church of Christ in Indianapolis is having a gospel meeting this week. And you'll want to check out that on their website, the times, and the speaker and so forth. And hopefully we can see you there. That would be wonderful. Now, let's get into our study this morning, the comforting word of God. I want us to start with examples which show a lack of comfort. And when one is grieving or discouraged and they're unable to be comforted, it is an awful thing, is it not? Well, look at the example of Jacob. This is Genesis 37:35. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. What had happened? Well, remember Joseph's brothers brought back his coat of many colors with animal blood? And thus, Jacob thought that Joseph was dead. But he refused to be comforted. And he said, "For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning." And thus, his father wept for him. Well, Joseph was not dead, not yet. He was still living, and of course, you know later what would happen. They would be before Joseph in Egypt. He was second Pharaoh. God's providence. What a great study that is. But the point is here, Jacob could not be comforted, even though he was wrong. Feelings can be strong, but they can be wrong. There's another lesson, isn't it? So we can refuse to be comforted. In Jacob's case, that's exactly what happened. And you know, sometimes people turn to the wrong source. In fact, this happens sadly quite a bit. Turning to the bottle, drinking alcoholic beverage of different sorts, pills to go to sleep or perk you up or what, and you know, people get in a mess with that. And of course, some turn away from God because they do not understand situations. Instead of turning to God and receiving comfort, they do just the opposite. And many people can offer vain comfort, like Job's so-called friends. They're an example of offering what? Vain comfort. Job 21:34, "How then comfort ye me in vain, seeing in your answers there remaineth falsehood?" They were accusing Job of doing bad things, sinning, and he needed to repent. And on they went. Well, we know how that turned out. Job was able to offer sacrifices for his friends later on. But here's something else to mention. Fortune tellers, astrologers, false teachers and prophets. Well, and others we could talk about who deceive and offer vain comfort. I hear about California psychics being so good, and I think, well, they're all deceivers. I don't care whether they're from California or Timbuktu. It doesn't matter. They're deceivers. Look at Zechariah 10:2, for example. Zechariah 10:2. "For the idols have spoken vanity, and the diviners have seen a lie." Well, that's what we're talking about here with these so-called psychics. "And have told false dreams." There you are. "They comfort in vain." That's my point. "Therefore they went their way as a flock. They were troubled because there was no shepherd." And you don't like going without a shepherd if you're a sheep. That's right. What a horrible thought. If man was left alone in this sinful and troubled world without true and lasting comfort, total despair would set in, would it not? So let's go on and study now. God, our Creator, is a God of all comfort. I want to emphasize that again. God, our Creator, is a God of all comfort. And we should be so very thankful unto God every day. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, and then notice verse 18. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Let's give thanks every day. Now, here's an important passage for us to look at. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4 in our study concerning the comforting word of God. Notice, blessed, first, oh, I want to give this reference again. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." As we receive comfort of God from His holy word, and of course We know His providential care works as well. We're able to comfort others as well. That's right. God has always offered comfort, but what's the problem? Man is not always willing to receive it. Luke 13:34, remember Jesus saying, O Jerusalem, Luke 13:34, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stoneth them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. How awful is that? And ye would not come unto the Lord. So many today will not come unto the Lord, refusing to be comforted and be forgiven of their sins. What greater example of comfort than that of a mother's comfort to her child? Well, you know, this is the kind of comfort God extends to us. Well, it sure is. Look at Isaiah 66:13. Isaiah 66:13. And as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, God is saying through Isaiah. And ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And in this chapter you can see, they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles, not just for the Jews, but for the Gentiles. And notice, and for as the new heavens, this is verse 22, for as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. That's going to be in the church of Christ. It's going to start in Jerusalem. That's right. But let's go on and notice the great comfort of God's Word is present. Yes. It is present. And we need to take advantage of it. Well, look at David. He was a man after God's own heart, and yet David was at time in great need of comfort. He sure was. And to whom did David turn for comfort when King Saul was trying to kill him? Psalm 23. We're all familiar with Psalm 23. Notice verse 4. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now the rod and staff, well, that's something we need to note. The rod symbolizes power, authority, and the staff symbolizes compassion and comfort. How the shepherd would take the hook part and lift up the sheep that got stuck, you know, in the rocks or whatever, and crevice or what, things like that. So without a doubt, God's word and providential care were David's source of true comfort. And it needs to be with us as well, does it not? Well, of course, look at Psalm 119. Verse 50, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickeneth me, David, the inspired writer. Verse 76, let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. The comforting word of God is what we need to appreciate here. And the early church took comfort in God's word and was edified and grew. Let's go to Acts 9:31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, that is, were multiplied. Now, today, congregations of the Lord's church will also be edified and grow if they walk in the fear of the Lord and take comfort in, yes, God's holy word, just as the early church did there in Acts 9, verse 31, which we just read. Well, here's something to note. When we fully trust in God, we will be comforted by having true peace. That's right, true peace of mind that passeth all understanding. Well, Solomon revealed this, did he not, in Proverbs 3, 1 and 2? Proverbs 3, 1 and 2. No. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Well, we need to trust in God and be comforted and have true peace. Certainly we do, because God's word will do just that. Now let's notice something else. The comfort of Christians is to be shared. Well, of course it is. Paul was comforted by fellow Christians, and what a great man he was. Oh, brother, Paul was one who got things done in the Lord's vineyard, did he not? How much fruit came forth from his efforts will only be known in heaven. Well, look at 2 Corinthians 7, verse 4. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 4. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all tribulation. Paul suffered tribulation, did he not? Well, he certainly did. You can study that in chapter 11. Now, notice verse 13 here in 2 Corinthians 7. Verse 13. Therefore, we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. We need to refresh one another, offer comfort to one another. As we know God's word, we're comforted by God's word, and then we're able to offer comfort to others ourselves, and it just snowballs. That's something we need to appreciate. Philippians 2:19, Paul was in chains in Rome as a prisoner, as he wrote this by inspiration. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. Are we not comforted when we learn that we're in, when we learn about our brethren being in a good situation and their health is improved? And, you know, we appreciate learning that. Notice what Paul, by inspiration, exhorted the church at Rome. This is Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Romans chapter 15, 1 through 4. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Well, that makes a good text for our study this morning. The comfort of God's Word, God's holy Word. Yes, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Paul sent to Tychicus to comfort the brethren at Ephesus and Colossae. Notice Ephesians 6:22, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Colossians 4:8. The previous reference was Ephesians 6:22. Now notice, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. Now Paul not only wrote to the brethren at Thessalonica concerning the subject of comfort, but notice why Paul sent Timothy to the brethren in Thessalonica. This is 1 Thessalonians 3:2. 1 Thessalonians 3:2. And sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. And he told them to comfort one another with the inspired words which he had written them about the second coming. That was in chapter 4:18. And then in chapter 5, verse 11, he told them, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Because Christ died for us, whether we live or die, we should live together with him. Verse 10 of chapter 5. Paul then gave some final inspired instructions beginning at verse 12. But I want us to notice verse 14 of chapter 5. Verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. That's inspired, you know, not only advice, but exhortation. We need to implement it, do we not? Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Takes work. That's right. And let us comfort not only the feeble-minded, but of course the strong in the faith as well. Everyone needs to be comforted. And us all of us need to understand the comfort of God's holy word. The comforting word of God, as our study has been this morning. We need to appreciate what strength we can derive from God's revelation to us. That's his revelation to mankind, the Holy Scriptures. Look at 2 Corinthians 13:11. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. How are we going to be of one mind? Of course, we can be of good comfort as we studied, but to be of one mind, we need to follow the one standard. Yes, the pattern that God has given us in the New Testament for the organization of the church, where it was established in Jerusalem. Yes, there in Acts chapter 2. And we need to learn about, of course, not only the beginning of the church and organization, but how we're to worship in the church, the works of the church. They're all in the pattern. That's what we need to follow. That way we can be of one mind. What about the plan of salvation? Well, that's in the scriptures, and it's in order to be of one mind, we need to stay with the plan of salvation that's given in the scriptures. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. Then we need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, John 8:24. Of course, that motivates us to repent, to make a change of wills, and then do the will of God. Now, that's Luke 13:3-5. Now, once we've repented of our sins, made a change of will, of mind, now we're ready to make the good confession, which is unto salvation, Romans 10:9-10. stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Once we made the good confession, now we're ready to be immersed, baptized into Christ. Here's where we're going to contact the precious blood of Christ that washes away our sins. Notice Romans 6, verse 3, beginning. Romans 6, 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead, by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So as we go down into the water, we contact the blood of Christ. As we come up out of the water, we walk in newness of life. And the Lord adds us to his body, the true church, Acts 2:47. We're not joining a man-made church. We're added by the Lord himself to his body, his spiritual body, which is the church you read about in the Bible, of course, the church of Christ. He possesses it. Now we need to remain faithful, even if it meant our death. Revelation 2:10, we'll receive the crown of life. Revelation 2:10. And so as we stand ready to assist anyone, we can study further and learn together from the comforting Word of God. Are we appreciating the comforting Word of God? What does our life say? Am I able to comfort others? You know, we all need to trust and obey God, no matter who we are, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we need to obey the gospel as God has set forth, not as man, but as God has set forth. And we stand ready to assist anyone in doing just that. And if there's questions, certainly we can sit down together and strive to answer them. From what? From God's holy word, not from creed books. No, sir. This is what our study has been about, the comforting word of God. And it is a comfort that we can understand how to get out of our sins and contact the precious blood of Christ. That's vitally important. And as we've talked about this morning, we need to be of one mind. And the only way to do that is staying with the standard that God has given us, the New Testament pattern. That's right. And if we're not seeing this, you know, you can think about other examples if you're going to follow instructions. You know, and treating your yard, you have a pattern. Ladies, if you're going to make a dress, and you follow the pattern. Why is it that when it comes to religion, people don't want to see that? But there is a pattern, and it's God-given, and it's up to us to accept it as it is, not trying to alter it, not trying to water it down, but stay with the scriptures. And we're going to be comforted. It's guaranteed. And we want to thank you so much for listening today.